Crime content enthusiasts, tap in. I have to tell you about June's Journey, the captivating hidden object mystery game that'll transport you back to the glamour of the 1920s. Step into the shoes of June Parker, a daring young detective on a quest to uncover scandalous family secrets and solve the mysterious murder of her sister. With each scene explored, you'll unravel a collection of dazzling hidden object spectacles, leading you closer to the truth. Engage your sense of observation as you scour through the beautifully detailed scenes from the parlors of New York to the sidewalks of Paris in search of hidden clues and mind-teasing mysteries. But June's Journey isn't just about solving crimes. It's about escaping reality and immersing yourself in a world of mystery, danger, and romance. Customize your very own luxurious estate island. Decorate it to your heart's content and join a detective club to chat and play with other players. My personal favorite time to play June's Journey is when I'm waiting for my daughter after school in the carpool line. It's my little slice of me time on the weekdays. Although I love a good mystery, my favorite part of the game is being able to play with others. If you're craving a good mystery, looking for an escape, or some me time, why not travel back in time to the glamorous 1920s and channel your inner detective? Dive into June's captivating quest today and see if you can crack the case. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Hey guys, it's Jamie. If you're like me, you are fascinated by true crime mostly because you want to figure out the psychology behind these brutal crimes. Why are some people driven to kill? Is it driven by sex, control, revenge, or maybe ego? These are the questions I always have when I hear about a murder case. Wondery has produced a new podcast called Killer Psych, and by listening to it, you'll get answers to these questions. You'll understand what makes these killers tick because in each episode, retired FBI criminal profiler Candace DeLong breaks down the motivation to kill for some of the most infamous killers in history. Candace knows her stuff. She's been doing this type of work for more than 50 years, and she's come face to face with hundreds of felons. Candace's work has essentially brought her inside the minds of killers, so she can dissect their thoughts and determine why they committed such heinous crimes. She's worked on high-profile cases like the one involving Ted Kaczynski, known as the Unabomber. Over a 17-year span of time, Kaczynski's homemade bombs killed 3 people and severely injured 20 more. Listening to Killer Psych, you'll hear Candace's professional take on the case of Dr. Christopher Dunch, better known as Dr. Death. If you want a deeper dive into Dr. Dunch's mind to figure out whether he was just delusional or a cold-blooded killer, check out Killer Psych. You're about to hear a preview of Killer Psych. While you're listening, follow Killer Psych on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen to new episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.
The very first bombing was in Chicago, where I lived at the time, but I wasn't an FBI agent yet. I was head nurse at the Institute of Psychiatry at Northwestern University Hospital. I met an FBI agent, and he said to me, "You know what? You should be an FBI agent." And I remember looking at him and saying, "In case you hadn't noticed, I'm a nurse." But I couldn't sleep that night. In fact, when he said that to me, I didn't even know women could be FBI agents. So I went to the Chicago office, I took the test, and 4 months later, I found myself at the FBI Academy. I distinctly remember I heard about this case for the first time when I was driving home. It was on the radio. The story is a 9-year-old boy was walking home from school and he sees a package underneath a blue mailbox and he picks it up, calls his mom, who is at work. She said, "Do not open it." So when she gets home, she's examining it and she sees that it's addressed to a professor at Northwestern University and it had a return address from a professor at a college in upstate New York. His mom called the professor at Northwestern. He did not know who the other professor was, but he says, "Send it to me anyway." So she did. And the security guard brings this item up to his office, and it looked like a small, skinny pine box, and it had a metal latch on it. There was a black marker used to make a huge arrow pointing to the latch. The only thing that wasn't there was a little note that said, "Open here." So the guard opens it, and it explodes. And the guard's hands and arms were slightly burned. After that first bombing, a series of explosive devices were mailed or delivered to people or universities or corporations for the next 15 years. One bomb even went off inside the cargo section of a flight. This one had materials that were similar to those used in the previous two Northwestern bombings, like pieces of string, flashlight, batteries, nails, and common plumbing. A pattern was emerging not only of the types of bomb-making materials, but also how they were fused together. His early devices were very amateurish, rudimentary. We called them kiddie bombs because they were so simple, it was like something a kid would make in his dad's garage. Remember back then, there was no internet or dark web where a person could go and get extensive details on how to build a lethal device. It was clear to the FBI bomb techs at the lab that whoever was doing this was learning as he progressed. But as the Unabomber continued making bombs, with each device, he seemed to be getting better and better. In 1985, he placed a device in the parking lot of a computer store in Sacramento. The owner of the computer store was cleaning up some trash in the back parking lot. He noticed a bag and picked it up. It exploded, and a piece of shrapnel pierced his heart, killing him instantly. That was the first time one of the devices killed someone. Two more people were murdered in the next few years. In 1995, the president of the California Forestry Association unwrapped a parcel in his office, even though it was addressed to his predecessor. When he opened it, he was blown to bits. His shoes were found 40 feet away. There had been over a dozen bombings, and frankly, we were no closer to finding him. Any thoughts at this point on who the Unabomber was were purely speculative. I believed it was probably a middle-aged white guy, but some of my colleagues were not even convinced of that. Then we got a break in the case that would change everything. Follow Killer Psyche on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen to new episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.
Hi, I'm Natalie.
And I'm Paige. We're the hosts of The Murder Diaries.
We're a weekly victim-centered true crime podcast. Our goal is to always keep the victim's name and light alive in our coverage of missing, unsolved, and suspicious death cases.
New episodes are available every Thursday. Listen to The Murder Diaries wherever you get your podcasts.